Thank you for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Linda Noah continues our series, Making Life Work, with a message titled, Emotional Intelligence. Now here's Pastor Linda.
It has more to do with your emotional intelligence than it does having to do with your IQ. Wisdom is a skill. It is a know-how to do this. It's not raw intellect. Raw intellect is the knowing of that. Over the last century, there's been plenty of debate over the years as American psychologists and scientists have tried to figure out ways to measure wisdom and to measure intelligence. And most of us are familiar with the assessment, your IQ. What is your IQ? And then we try to use our grades, and then we try, for college entrance, there's the ACT and there's the SAT tests that we begin to take. And what they're finding is, although this is a measure of knowledge, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good measurement of wisdom. There are valedictorians and people with advanced degrees that have scored really high on their entrance college exams, but they're not worth a whole lot as they try to navigate in this world. Did you know that researchers say that IQ contributes to about 20% of the factors that determine success? That means 80% is factors beyond that. I want to tell you, I see the bulk here of high school kids, if you don't do well on your SATs, you're okay. Yeah. Because that is not a measurement of what will make you succeed in life. Now, do good with school. Get your education. But if something like that, it doesn't determine your success in life. Someone that Ray and I studied with and did a lot of work with was Zig Ziglar, and he was just this great guru in business and business life. And he would always say, 15% of success on your job is due to your technical skills. 85% of your success is your ability to get along and work with people. That is huge. That is huge. It's the soft skills that many people in business have trouble even wanting to. And I just saw Ford Taylor in this service. Speaking of soft skills development, Ford does transformational leadership, and he's grinning from ear to ear right now. That's not fair, and that's not good. And he teaches soft skills. That's what he does. And it is one thing that takes a lot to convince business leaders that it's something that they should invest in their employees. So what is emotional intelligence? That's what I want to focus the attention on today. And I really want to talk about biblical emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize and understand emotions and your skill at using this awareness to manage yourself and your relationships with others. Daniel Goleman, if you were to look at any kind of work or research on emotional intelligence, you would find his name is regularly pops up to the top. And he says this. He says that there's four core skills. If you're going to be an emotional, intelligent person, recognizing this is more valuable than even your IQ, four skills that you need to master. One being that of self-awareness. Two, once you are aware, that being of self-management. Three, of being socially aware. And once you are socially aware, that being the ability to manage and live and move within those relationships. You'll notice that personal competence, that being aware of your emotions, and then how to manage your emotions has to come first. And then that ability to look at the emotional depth and breadth of the people around you and engage in that relationship is a very healthy thing. And those are four key components of really, once you master those, that makes you very competent in the area of emotional intelligence. Interesting, the Proverbs instructs us to seek wisdom and understanding. It does so with the expectation that it is something that we can master. It is something that we can learn, and it is something that you can learn and something that you can master. It makes no sense for the Bible to encourage us in an area if it's not something that we can do better in, that we can do well in. Proverbs 16:32 says this. This is how important it is. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. That's how important this thing is, to manage our emotions and those promptings that seem to rule us. Learning to rule your spirit, that is to know and to control your thought life and your feelings, as well as to know and understand those around you and to manage healthy relationships, is a form of intelligence that can be developed. And no matter where you are today, it is something that you can grow in. As part of my journey in life, I had just a real privilege to work in the corporate world, and I really had senior roles, and I had to manage large teams, and then there went to a season where I left that, and I began an executive coaching business, and then in that, I had the opportunity to be with leaders and people who were really wanting to develop high-performance teams and really see something great happen within their companies. And it amazed me, the area field that I worked in the most was in the sciences and the technical industry. And I was amazed to be around these brilliant people and to see their incompetence in handling their own emotions and able to work within and be with the people within their teams. It was shocking to me. And I would often be hired to come into this company and help them to get better than that. And it was an interesting journey. What always grieved my spirit in that environment was that I could never bring in Jesus. I could teach them a skill, and some of the things I'm going to walk you through today is some of the things that a skill that can be taught. But there is nothing like having, what did they aim for? What was their purpose? What was the height upon which they were to manage their emotions and get along with and work with people? And God is at the core of when we really want to understand what biblical emotional intelligence is about. The wise person is a person who is mature in their knowledge of God. And based on this revelation and this knowledge of God that they have in their life and in their heart, then they understand themselves and they understand their surroundings. And the Bible says when you have that, you are able to navigate life well. Proverbs has a lot to say about this, and it says it again and again and again, and it strikes us between the comparison of someone who has wisdom and someone who is the fool. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool expresses all of his emotions, but a wise person controls them. I just took a look at the word fool and brought it up into my Bible thesaurus, and it just fool. I mean, again, fools this, fools theirs. They're complacent. They're easily frustrated. They're reckless. They're careless. They're crooked in speech. They have a hasty temper. They deal with anger. I have a whole page of all the scripture that it talks about for a fool. And you know what it talks about all the way through? Is their emotional state and their ability to manage their emotions. And foolishness and sinfulness is very closely aligned. So when you go and you don't have control over your emotions, you are a fool. And often when we don't have control over our emotions, we find that it moves us into sin. I think most of us get it. If you just were listening to the news just this morning, you hear of situations and stories where emotions have gotten out of control and people have taken it too far. We've seen people do hateful and we've seen people do foolish things because of their emotions. We've witnessed in others, and sometimes we've witnessed in our own self when we could say, this emotional train left the station a long time ago, and it's moving hard, and it's moving fast, and it's moving in the wrong direction for our lives. It's overtaken us. When we consider our emotional life as Christians, we're kind of confused about it. We're not sure. We think when we're feeling a strong emotion that we're emotionally charged and that maybe we're sinful because we feel that situation so profoundly, and we're trying to monitor our behavior and guide and we're trying to direct it. For example, someone who's struggling with grief. If we have struggled with grief, if I have struggled with grief, if you have struggled with grief, Intellectually, as Christians, we understand that that loved one is in a better place. We get that intellectually, and yet we grieve. And many times when we go to a person who's in the center of grief, we say to them, kind of almost like, don't feel that. They're in a better place, you know. Don't respond that way. We do know that grief, when it's unmanaged, can be turned into something that is sinful and isn't good. But grief, we grieve, it's beautiful. We grieve bigly because we love so much. And yet there are stages of grief that we can get shipwrecked on the sidelines as we walk through that. But I'm here to tell you, this emotion is beautiful and it's great, because if we didn't grieve, what that would tell me is that you didn't love. And the fact that you love so much, my precious friends, means that you can grieve bigly. You can grieve bigly. More often than not, than I've heard extroverts, who is what I am, an expressive person, maybe feel that you were not so holy, because we feel so much emotion and we express it so much more than the introvert does. But on the same side, I've talked to introverts, and they say, only if you knew what was in my heart, if you knew what was in my heart, that's all hidden and bound up and isn't there for people to see. We're confused about our emotions. But did you know that Scripture tells us that God is emotional, that Jesus was emotional, and that we were created in the image of God, and so because He's emotional, we're emotional? Our emotions can be broken down into three different classes, and I want to run through those really quickly with you. One is holy emotions. Those emotions that were experienced by God, such as compassion and joy and holy indignation, and those that accompany the life of the Spirit, like praise and worship and adoration. And when we are feeling those things, they are the emotions of Christ within us. Galatians talks about the emotional life of the Holy Spirit, and then that we can have this of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then there's things that's called human emotions, and these are based on our human situation and the created order and shared by Jesus even while His time was here on earth. These emotions are like grief and pain and fear and abandonment and sadness and sorrow and, yes, even anxiety and stress and anxiousness and vulnerability. And these emotions are well chronicled in Psalms. We can read the Psalms and hear David crying out and pouring out his spirit. But as Christians, we also know that these emotions are temporary, and that there will be no crying, and there will be no sadness, and there will be no pain when we stand before God the Father. And while these emotions, they feel horrible at times, they're not evil, and they're not toxic, and they can be painful, but they're not poisonous. And then there's these fleshly emotions, and these emotions, they are poisonous. They're destructive, and they include things, toxic emotions such as malice and envy and selfish ambition and sensuality and bitterness and overpowering lusts and murderous hatred. They are closely aligned to the work of the flesh and with evil deeds, and their outcome is always spiritual death, always spiritual death. James 3 talks about these emotions, and he says in it, it's the kind of wisdom, it's not of dark wisdom, not of earthly wisdom, it's a kind of wisdom that doesn't come from above, it belongs to the world, it is self-centered, and even, here's the word, demonic in nature. All the emotions that we feel and we experience in this world, they're not all equal, and some of them are higher values than others, and some emotions are impulses, and they are absolutely, completely wrong. They are sin. But learning to manage our emotions is an effort of a lifetime, and I don't care how holy you are, it is an effort of a lifetime. And the Scripture is clear how important it is to manage our emotions. It says in Proverbs that while wisdom leads to life, this emotional intelligence, it leads to life. Folly, foolishness, the lack of it ultimately leads to death. The price if we don't manage our emotions, oh, the price is just too high. It's way too high. People who ignore, dismiss, repress their emotions, if they're setting themselves, and sometimes even ventilate, they're setting themselves up just for physical illness. Emotions that aren't felt, that aren't released, or then they're buried within the body can cause cancer. This is proven. Arthritis, many types of chronic illnesses. It can lead to fear and anxiety, negativity, frustration, depression, cause chemical reactions in your body that really make no sense, much different than when we're expressing the emotions of happiness and love and contentment and acceptance. Research has linked specific emotions to certain parts of your body, and I think this slide is just very interesting. And if it's not there, it is. If you can take a look at this, I found this really interesting. And if you notice, it's linked to different parts of your body that what goes hot when you're feeling a certain emotion. And I love anger. It's hot in the head, hot in the chest area, hot in the arms, and the feet are hot. You either want to fight or you want to flight on that one. It's very interesting to look at this, but I want you to know and see where when you feel something emotional, it's very definitely something that resides in your physical body. And I want you to notice something too. I'm going to get to it in a second, but I want you to notice how much that's up in the head. Almost every situation where it's hot or very cold, it's hot or cold, it's experienced in the head. That's something to really, really notice. So what if I'm expressing these emotions that I don't want? What if they've overtaken me? What if something is controlling me and it just feels like I can't even seem to manage it? Can I manage that? Contemporary science tells us this, that the brain rules the body and generates all of our feelings and perceptions. The Bible says it this way, and you can go to the Proverbs 23 slides. Say that, for a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans 12:2, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way that you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Do you want your mind renewed? Do you want emotional health? Don't start here. Start here. Bible tells us to change the way that we think. So how do we do this? How do we take ourselves through these steps? And I want you to walk you through this in the next few minutes. Number one, name the emotion. Name the emotion. You cannot manage a vague feeling. You have to pinpoint it. You have to identify it. You can't solve a problem you can't identify. First, ask yourself this. What am I feeling? What am I really feeling? Peel the onion a bit. Is it fear? Is it pride? I find that people have a lot of difficulty naming their emotions, and sometimes how I've directed people, well, tell me what it's not. What are you not feeling? I'm not feeling self-confident, or I'm not feeling security, or I'm not feeling joy, as a way to get to what the emotion is. And then the other question to ask yourself, what triggered this? What triggered this emotion? Was it something from my past? Is it something that happened way long ago that I've just brought up today in this situation? Was I just tired? Was I just needed a nap? Is there a sinful way in me of being that God is exposing me, that he wants me to see something new and to learn something new? So you say, what am I really feeling? And what triggered this? And the next thing that I do is I challenge it. You challenge what you're feeling. You don't just accept it as what you're feeling is right and assume immediately that it's accurate. Are things really as bad as I feel they are? Probably. But probably not. Are things really as good as I think they are? Possibly. I hope so. So you need to ask these questions. What is the real reason that I'm feeling this? What is at the root of why I'm feeling this right now? Is it true? Is it real? And the biggie is, what I'm feeling right now, is it helping me or is it hurting me? Is it helping me or is it hurting me? I had an emotional situation that hit me within this last month. And frankly, I didn't have the bandwidth to handle it well. It was stacked in the midst of a lot of other pressures that were also very emotional, and it was just kind of, I was going and I was doing it, and I wasn't sinning, I was holy, and then this thing hit. Someone sinned against me. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair, but it was. It hurt so bad, and I was so brokenhearted. My hurt was justified, but where my hurt was taking me was not good. And I asked God to help evaluate my feelings on that. And I said, God, this thing, I don't have it. It's controlling me. It's ruling my day. I can't think straight. It came to me in a moment on first unveiling of this on Facebook. Oh, Lord, help Facebook. And that's when it first started, and I learned about it, and I saw it, and I turned it, and I showed. I was shaking. And I turned, and I showed it to Ray, and I could feel, hear the gasp of air. And he said to me, Linda, I can't talk about this right now. And I'm like, okay. Because we didn't want to sin. Okay. And so we parted a little bit, and we came back together after a couple hours and began to process this through the day. And we asked God, like, Lord, cross-examine me, Psalms 26:2. Test my motives, my affections, God, if there's any sin in me. I wanted to hurt someone. I wanted to lash out. And I began at this process of naming this emotion. What was there? What was this about? Why did it knock me off my feet so hard? And then I began to challenge it and wrestle with it. What is the real reason that I'm feeling this? Is it real? Is it true? Can I read the words? Is it there? Can I talk to this person? Is it actual? And then I began to say, is this emotion and this feeling, is it helping me? Is it hurting me? And it was hurting me. It was hurting me. I named it. I challenged it. And next I began to tame it. First step in taming your emotions, sometimes you just need to clear your head. I didn't have the bandwidth in my humanness. And so, man, I just went to God's word. I sat in worship. I just let this flood, his spirit, just to flood my mind and flood my heart. I had an encouraging friend. I called them up. They were a part of this story. They had seen it too. And they were like, I'm going to go get this. And I'm like, do nothing. Do nothing. Just let this unfold. Let's see what's going to happen with this. Do nothing. But it was that friend helped me and encouraged me and kept me holy. And then I took a nap. Sometimes you just need to have really good self-care and give yourself a little loving kindness. And there's a lot to be said about managing our emotions with our diet, nutrition, and exercise, doing something for your body and just giving myself some loving kindness. Sometimes you get your head in the right place. Clear your head. Next Sometimes you need to change what you're thinking. And I'm going back to thinking about the slides that I've done. You know, remember the verses that I read. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You want to renew your mind? Change the way that you think. Sometimes when we're feeling things that are contrary to what we believe they should be, what we think are divine qualities, although anger can be righteous in our anger and we cannot sin, but we sit and tell ourselves, stop it! Stop it! Don't feel this emotion. Or we go to our friend, you know, and we discard the thing that they're feeling because we're just wanting to tell them, just stop. Don't feel this anymore. Well, you know, that works about 0% of the time. You need to instead replace that thought with a new thought. And when I think those new thoughts, it changes my feeling. And when I change my feeling, it changes my actions. Jesus didn't rebuke leprosy. He said, be clean. Peter and John didn't say to the lame man, lameness be gone. Just don't be there. He said, rise up and walk. And it's this masterful moment that you can come together and you take this. I was thinking down this path and I was going down and it was burning in my head. I could feel it and it was burning in my heart and I could feel it. And it was burning in my guts and I could feel it. And it was burning in my feet. I wanted to run or I wanted to knock somebody's head off. I am a redhead. I do have those emotions. But instead, I wrestled it and Ray and I worked it, and we wrestled the thought to get a new thought. And I watched it. I had this new thought. It changed the feeling inside of me and then has brought me to new actions and to a new way of being. Sometimes when we're needing to tame, we need to channel what we're feeling, and that's what I did. You know, I've seen story after story where you take your broken emotions, your disappointments, and your bruising, and you turn it into something that is good. This awfulness is good. Have you been hurt? Have you been disappointed? Have you been let down? Is your life an emotional train wreck at times? Use it for good. Use it for good. Don't waste a hurt or a disappointment. And in my situation, I named it and I challenged it and I began to get a new way of thinking and then I began to channel it in this new direction and I watched the whole world open up to me. A whole new, really future. And back when I was studying, and God just began to reveal in his word powerful thoughts and he reminded me that Judas betrayed him. And he walked over to Judas and kissed him and then told Judas to go do what you must do. And that was all part of the story that was involved that took Jesus to the cross and where he died on the cross for your and my sins. And then God showed me in my heart as I began to channel this into a new thing that he killed himself. And then my heart began to have mercy for my friend that had betrayed me so badly. I thought, oh God, hold them close. Hold them close. Learn to manage your emotions. Name it, challenge it, and then you can change it or you can channel it. And then finally, give control to the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? How do you do that? How do you have the Holy Spirit change an emotion in you that's hurting you and then often hurting all the people that are around you? Every day, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Every day. Galatians 5, 22, 23, we quote it well. We quote it often. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace. I could stop right there. That would be enough. My life would be a whole lot better if every day was filled with love and joy and peace. Wouldn't yours? But here's the deal. God has given us 9 of these. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control comes from God control. This passage says that when the Holy Spirit controls your life, he fills you with these things. When you're filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness, self-control, that's a whole lot better than being filled with anger and worry and fear and guilt and shame and worry and all these other things. And here's the deal. When you are put under pressure at home, at work, or anywhere else, do you know what comes out of you? What you filled yourself up with. If you're filled with worry and doubt and loneliness and envy and jealousy and bitterness and gossip, when the world puts pressure on you, that is what comes out. It's like when you squeeze the toothpaste. I want you to know toothpaste can be squeezed from the middle, Ray Noah. But when you squeeze the toothpaste, whether it's the middle or the bottom, it still comes out the same. It's toothpaste. When you squeeze the shampoo, what comes out is what is in the bottle. It's shampoo. When you squeeze your life, what comes out is what you filled your life up with. Is it the fruit of the Spirit? It's whatever is inside of you. Friends, we are living in a world that has emotions that have gone wild. If it is true, and I believe it is, I have seen that, it is true. If 80% of our success has to do with our ability to manage our emotions, get along with people, we should have an edge on the market because we have the Holy Spirit. I had to go through steps of naming and challenging and steps of going through this process and channeling it and changing it. I had to do those things, but I had the power of the Holy Spirit in me. In me. When we allow our emotions to be controlled by God instead of ourselves, he's able to produce in us the fruit, his fruit, in our own lives. What does that mean? Love. No matter what we're feeling, love. The ability to give myself sacrificially to God and others. Joy. The ability to remain positive, believing in the hope God offers. Peace. The ability to be at rest in unpleasant circumstances. Patience. The ability to stay calm even when pressured. Kindness. The ability to return good for evil. Goodness. The ability to grow in holiness like God, my Father. Faithfulness. The ability to be dependable at all costs. Gentleness. The ability to forgive and show compassion. Self-control. The ability to say no to wrong desires, thoughts, or actions. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. A couple days ago, I was engaging a person who was in this betrayal, or was experiencing the aftermath of it. And they were talking to me on the telephone, and I'd shared some emails and some dialogues that we had had and how we were going to handle this situation. And it was a man, and I am emotionally high-strung person, so I'm not trying to say that men and women are different, but I have found most of the men in my life can handle their emotions a little better than I can at times. And I was talking with him and engaging, and he said to me, and he was reading the emails, and he was talking back about it, and he says, Linda, he said, you are so kind. I am so angry. He says, my wife is having to calm me down. I'm pacing the floors. I'm so angry. I'm so frustrated. I just want to hit somebody. And you are so kind. And I sat there going, oh, thank you, Jesus, that that was the fruit that he experienced from me. It wasn't there a few weeks ago. But going through the steps and the process, I was able to grab it and change my thinking and come in this place. And I didn't give him this word, but I was thinking about this lesson, and I just thought, that's a fruit of the Spirit. I didn't have it. But God had it for me. He had it for me.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.